paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Time for our Monday morning house call. Dr. Kevin Most is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Good morning, Doc. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Bob. I'm doing great. Huh? 60 degrees today.
It's going to be warm today. Enjoy it, because then winter's back for a
winter's
couple
back
days.
On Thursday, yeah.
What do you make of these numbers here? As I mentioned earlier, over the past 2 weeks, the Illinois positivity rate has slowly increased from a record low of 2.1%. Now it's 3.2%. And I guess around the country, we have similar reports. What's happening?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a few things. One is that a lot of states, even here, are loosening up the mitigation factors. Two, we haven't vaccinated enough people to really stem the tide of expansion. And three, we're really starting to feel the impact of the variants that have been noted here for months now, but really is going to be the predominant strain here right now.
As we mentioned, it's a race against these variants to get the most people vaccinated in a hurry. And as more people become eligible, I hope the appointments will be easier to get and the vaccine supply will be increasing. What are you hearing at Northwestern, and what are you hearing from your colleagues at other hospitals?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you are going to see a lot more vaccine being released and available here over the next couple of weeks. But it's in combination with the number of people that can actually be vaccinated now. You know, the city of Chicago, obviously, I'm sure everyone knows, has gone to 1C as of today. You know, and that is allowing people 16 years and older with a comorbidity, those teaching higher education, you guys in the media, construction workers, restaurant workers. So really that influx of individuals is going to be massive, so that you're going to see an increase in the number of vaccines, but an increase in the need as well. But I think that that is going to, personally, I think we're going to have enough vaccine here very shortly that we're going to have more vaccine than people that want vaccines.
So, well, that's good.
Yeah. Hang on just a couple weeks, but right now, city of Chicago, over 16 with comorbidities, which include things like obesity. So it's a large number of people.
Tribune headline the other day, from brush with virus to brain fog and blurred vision, Northwestern study, 85% of long haulers who start with mild COVID-19 have four or more neurological symptoms. What is being learned by this study at Northwestern?
Yeah, you know, I'm obviously proud of Northwestern because I work for them, but also just because of the work that they are doing. And the study that you're talking about is just looking at the neurologic portion of long-haul COVID. They also have pulmonary clinics that look at the lung problems. They have cardiac clinics. So individuals, you know, that are now starting to show repercussions of having the illness are now being studied. And it's great that we're doing this, because we're putting large cohorts of people together that have similar illnesses, so that we can try different medications, we can try different therapies, where if you go out into the community, they're very sporadic, and the single doctor who sees maybe three versus these clinics, that's all they are seeing. So are we concerned about it? Yeah, because it's interesting when you look at least at the neurologic one. The neurologic clinic is finding people that never were hospitalized, had mild symptoms of COVID, and now are continuing to have that loss of taste or smell, brain fog, other cognitive learning disabilities. So it's fascinating, but it's also very scary for anybody out there that says this is just another flu. I hope you all read that article and see the impact that it's having on individuals who really only had a mild case.
And these people who are experiencing what's being called the long-haul symptoms, is it a particular age group? Are you seeing people with underlying conditions being the ones mostly who experience this?
We've actually seen healthy people in this, you know, age group of 20 to 50 or 20 to 60. So The individuals that we weren't concerned about being in a vulnerable population that where COVID could cause death are now seeing the repercussions of what COVID can do in a healthy individual. So that's the big message to everybody about, hey, when you get a chance to get vaccinated, get vaccinated, because people that say, oh, this is, you know, I'm just going to get over it, we're finding out that more and more people are, again, having these symptoms that are lasting for months and months and months, and they're novel symptoms. It's not like we have a medication that says, oh, you lost your taste of smell. Here, take this. Oh, you have blurred vision. Take this drug and you'll be fine. We're learning and finding out more and more every day as we're starting to see these patients with extended symptoms.
Some Chicago fans will be allowed into the ballparks to see the Cubs and Sox as opening day is upon us here. How do you feel, Doc, about going to a game right now?
I feel good. You know, if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be 20%. So you think about that. You're in seat one. No one is within five seats of you. So I think that that'll be fine, especially they're going to be very cognizant about people wearing masks and being careful. I think they've gone to a cashless concession, so there's not going to be a lot of transactions between people. I think that they're doing it smart. You know, part of me says we have to get people back outside and back doing things, but also with that responsibility of getting vaccinated and wearing masks and doing things. If people want to see Wrigley Field filled again, then let's make sure in April and May we all get vaccinated.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Cubs open Thursday. Sox will be home the following week. Talking to Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Medicine, and we have a ton of questions from listeners. Let's go through some of these. Email from Ileana, who says, we are fully vaccinated. My granddaughter is also fully vaccinated, but she works at a grocery store. Can she come visit us? And do we have to wear a mask when she does? Does she?
Well, you know, when you get people that are both fully vaccinated, or both parties are fully vaccinated, you're both protected up to like 95%. So in those situations, you certainly can sit closely and not have a mask on. If you're going to bring anybody into the equation that hasn't been vaccinated, then out of courtesy and out of caution, everyone should be masked. But individuals who are fully vaccinated now, so if you, let's say you're a senior and you've been fully vaccinated and you haven't seen your friends who are seniors who are fully vaccinated, those individuals can now get together where we were keeping them so far apart in the past.
Also along those lines, this is from Joseph, is it safe to go to a small gathering, about eight people, if I'm fully vaccinated, but two people that will be there refuse to get vaccinated and just got back from a motorcycle rally in Florida? I'm a little nervous. Yeah, I'm a little nervous, too, hearing this.
Yeah. Joseph should know that he's fully vaccinated and, you know, he should be protected, you know, up to 95%. So is he 100% protected? No. Someone that was just at a bike rally in Florida, I would be concerned about them. I would certainly distance from them. I would certainly wear masks around them because there's a high, I shouldn't say a high possibility, but there's certainly a possibility that they could be in the early stages or could be carriers.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Most, you know, it's people like you who need to talk to these Meshuggahs who refuse to get vaccinated, and it shouldn't come from political leaders, because then folks are automatically skeptical. But when the medical community is telling you the vaccine is safe and we need to get the vaccine in a hurry and more of us need to get it, I don't understand why somebody would refuse to get it. Do you?
I don't, you know, and it is frustrating. You know, we've talked about this in the past. You know, people say, oh, this was hurried, this was rushed. It really wasn't. You know, the emergency use authorization is one thing, but when you look at the study of 60,000 people that went through the clinical trials and the amount of testing and retesting that was done, and now you're looking at the millions who have received it, individuals have to understand not only, one, the long haulers that we just talked about, so that age group, we still have to look at the number of deaths that this has caused. You know, people say it's just a bad flu. Are you kidding? It's 20 times, 30 times higher than a bad flu season as far as the number of deaths. So individuals that are going to refuse to get the vaccine, I'm not sure what's going to happen. Are we going to have vaccine passports? That's the only way you're going to get into Wrigley, is that you're going to be able to show that you've been vaccinated, possibly. But for all of humanity, for your neighbors, for your people, friends, for, you know, your colleagues, you know, get vaccinated. The individual who wants to go see these two individuals that rode motorcycles in Florida, I would say, you know, out of kindness to each other, why don't we get vaccinated? It's a jab in the arm. I mean, come on, let's get serious.
Yeah, exactly. Email from Wayne. Oh, you'll like this one. Doctor, most segments are always so informative. He explains things so well and patiently that I wish he were my doctor. With the near disappearance of influenza this season, is it possible that the flu is dead and will not return? Signed, a longtime WGN listener. I like the Zen moments. Thank you, Wayne. Go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, Wayne, great question. And a lot of people are asking that because even you look at Northwestern, I think we might have had one or two influenza patients. Now, influenza, unfortunately, will continue to circulate a little bit, but we might have either a low influenza season next year or a high one. If you look at the logic, are people going to get vaccinated next year for influenza? We certainly hope they are, but we think there's going to be hesitancy there saying, oh, the season was nothing last year, I don't need to get it. But the influenza virus will certainly continue to spread or continue to replicate. It's going to be a matter of how well protected we are next year. The biggest concern is that we normally make the vaccine based on the cases that we see this year, as well as the cases in the Southern Hemisphere. So everyone is concerned because we have no information or no guidance as to what to make the influenza vaccine next year. Where normally by this time we would know exactly what we're going to put in the vaccine for next year.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'm knocking on my head right now saying, knock on wood, I haven't had a cold all year, and I imagine a lot of people can say that because of the way we're washing up and masking up and backing up, right?
Absolutely. The common cold, the bronchitises, you know, people that think, oh, I usually get bronchitis or a sinus infection. Everyone is looking at this saying, wow, I haven't been sick. You know, and certainly it is the mitigation. I think we're a little bit more aware of infectious diseases now. We're not shaking hands. We're not giving hugs. All those ways that we spread illness. Now, I'm not saying that needs to go happen in the future. We'll go back to the common cold and we'll go back to bronchitis and sinus infections. You know, that's just going to happen because we need that bonding. We need that human touch, you know, that has more mental health issues for us than sometimes the inconvenience of a cold for a few days.
Good question from Rosemary. We're a senior couple, fully vaccinated. We're meeting at an outdoor cafe with an unvaccinated 30-something couple. Do we need to wear masks? Safe distancing needed?
Yeah, you still should. And again, it's out of courtesy for the people that you're with versus you. You're fully protected. You are, well, I shouldn't say fully, but 94, 95% protected. But you have to know, we are still looking at the study of if you've been vaccinated, can you still spread to others? So the concern would not be you getting it from the 30-year-old who's sitting there. You're vaccinated. The concern would be, could you give it to them? So I would say, you know, while you're not eating or drinking, you know, wear a mask and, you know, make sure you're at a table that at least is reasonably sized.
On the text line, a question. I have received both my vaccines and I am more than 10 days out. If I come in contact with the COVID virus, is it possible I can carry it and give it to someone who has not been vaccinated?
Very possible still, since we don't know all that data yet. But 10 days post-vaccine, you're so close right now to being fully immunized. So you're probably there right now. So 95% of you is protected. But again, the way the question was asked is, could I still give it to someone else? And that still is an unknown. The Pfizer data and the AstraZeneca data make it look like it's a very low possibility that someone who's been vaccinated could spread it. But actually, the formal study is being done right now, along with formal studies being done on adolescents so that we can have dosing for adolescents, hopefully, in the early fall.
We keep getting questions about the shingles shot. This person says, got the shingles in November, got my second COVID shot on March 12th. When can I go get my shingles shot?
Wait, so they got their first COVID shot in
March 12th? This person, if I'm reading this right, this person says they got the shingles in November, then received the second vaccine on March 12th. When can I go get my shingles shot?
Yeah, so they could actually, 14 days past their second COVID shot, they can go back and get their shingles shot. We don't want to stack them on top of each other. If they got the first shingles shot, okay, at least they have some protection, but certainly don't wait to get that second one now. Once you're fully vaccinated, go about 10 days past that, and then you can go ahead and get that second shingles shot, because people who have had shingles will tell you, boy, if I had an opportunity to get vaccinated for this illness, I certainly would have.
Absolutely. Dr. Kevin Mose, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. If you're planning on weekday golf, you better do it today, Dr. Mose.
Today's the day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Take care.
All right. We'll talk to you next Monday.